How did a bunch of guys in high school end up going from rainbow butt monkeys to finger 11?
Oh, man. Now, looking back, it's a long story, but we formed a band in high school. And, we would pick a different name every show, basically. And the one we had when we got noticed was the Rainbow Butt Monkeys. And it was just sort of, our career just took off. Like, we got a record deal, we made a record, all that stuff. And by the time it was all etched in stone, we were like, wait, we didn't really pick this name for permanent sake. It was just another name that came along. So, I think just while we were making the next record after the Rainbow Butt Monkey record, we just had a feeling about maybe we might be able to do this forever, and we should take the name serious, and maybe, I don't know, just up the game in all respect. And part of it for us at that time was just felt important to like try to match the passion of the music and the tone of it to the name. But it was a hilarious name.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anyone who knows a little bit about the history of Finger 11, the first trivia question that they'll ask any other friend is,
yeah,
you know, something to do with the rainbow butt monkeys, and definitely, yeah, fantastic.
I mean, I think at the time we were probably taking ourselves too serious. Like, we were in our early 20s, and probably it was like us against the world, and just like the concept of at that time, there's a lot of angst and a lot of seriousness, a lot of darkness. So I think the idea that it was such a comical name, why we liked it to begin with, was it flew in the face of how serious we were.
A perfect contrast, if
yeah,
exactly. So,
but like the ape itself that it was named after, it was like a mandrill ape, which really only has purple on their butts. But it was a misconstrued thought of like their face is rainbow, but their butts are purple, and they're vicious as hell. So it was sort of we internalized it and thought it was kind of clever, but
yeah, well, definitely is clever. And then when you switched to Finger 11, you know, it didn't hurt you by any means. Over the years, you guys, much music video awards, SoCan awards, Juno nominations, and then eventually taking home, you know, Rock Album of the Year in 2008. Which of those, or is there something else that you would say is the band's greatest achievement?
Oh, man. I don't know. You know, like, we got a couple gold records. We sold, like, enough to get a gold record plaque from the United States. That was, in a weird, nostalgic way, that was a big one for me, because when I was young, I would see all these documentaries and everyone, that like that was the thing, like all the, you could get a gold record, I get a kick out of it. Unfortunately, we were in a time of CD, whereas well, the nostalgia was really, it was vinyl. So all of our gold record is like a gold CD. But I don't know, for some reason that really strikes me more than a lot of the other things. I think it's just because it's on tangible merit, where like a Juno, I don't know who votes for that stuff and all that stuff. I don't know really where that comes from. It's certainly exciting to win one and be part of the big festivities and everything, but I don't know, for some reason the gold record, just, I know we achieved it ourselves, the band and the songs.
Yeah, it makes sense.
More meaning.
Yeah, that's the fan speaking, right? So definitely shows, you know, how much they appreciated what you were putting out.
Yeah, I suppose at that time, too, it was a tangible way of knowing that people were, like, listening to your music and buying it, because there was no other way to get it.
Exactly.
I sound like an old man.
Well, speaking about all these fans, of course, you have tons here in North America. Following Rock on the River, you're actually headed to France. Of course, France will be interesting, but is there a country outside of North America that you guys have just like amassed a crazy following that just doesn't make sense to you?
I know that there's some good pockets of popularity in Australia, but you know what's interesting about this France thing is that it's not actually France in Europe. There's two islands off the edge of Newfoundland, I believe, that is like owned and run by France, but it's on the map, it looks like it's part of Canada. So it's called St. Pierre. That's where we're going to play. It's a neat place, though. It's kind of like the east coast of Canada mixed with a bit of Quebec and a bit of France. Everything there, you need a passport to get there. All the power, electricity, everything is all European. Everything about it feels like you're in Europe, but it's only like a half-hour plane ride away from Newfoundland.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah, that would be something.
I why doesn't everyone know about that? There's a little French island off the coast of Canada. I had no idea, but yeah, so that's where we're going.
Awesome. So what can fans expect to hear from you guys at Rock on the River?
I think just, you know, like the best of the best of what we got. I think at this point, we just try to keep it all like mostly high energy. If it's not songs that people know, then it's songs that are energetic and get you bouncing. And I don't know, this whole summer it's going to be awesome. We're playing on like all these outdoor festivals. Everyone, you just get primed for the right kind of energy. So it's perfect. It's perfect. It'll be awesome. High energy. You guys will be drunk. We'll be playing great. And then it'll end in a big, probably fireworks or a big party of some kind.
Yeah, everyone's definitely looking forward to it. Have you ever played, has Finger 11 come this far north before in Ontario?
I want to say yes, because I know, I think we went up to some like reserves and played, but that might have been northern Quebec. I know that we've been up there before, but as far as past it, I don't know what's north of there.
Really, there's nothing more north of Timmins that that I could see you guys playing at.
So maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, just about 3 hours south of us would be the line with Sudbury and North Bay.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I was just up in Timmins last week.
Yeah, you were up here with your country group, Blackie Jacket Jr.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, do you want to chat a little bit about that?
I can't wait to get back up there. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so how did that come to fruition?
Well, the gig came to fruition because Jimmy, our lead guitar player, he's buddies with the mayor. And we met the mayor. I couldn't believe how young the guy is.
Oh, yeah.
Made me feel like I got to get my act together or something. But, yeah, Blackie Jacket Jr. is about, like, almost 10 years old now of just something that me and Rick do when Finger 11 is sort of in the writing process. And over time, it's just starting to become a little more real every time. And this was a rare gig where we got to play outside of Toronto, which is more just a local kind of thing. So it was awesome, though. So it was like a road trip up there, and then we got to just, I don't know, it was great. I had a blast, an absolute blast.
Awesome. Well, glad you're looking forward to returning. Since, obviously, you're a guy who juggles a lot of stuff, you've got Finger 11, you've got Blackie Jacket Jr., and you've got your own solo project. What is it with you? You just can't take a break?
I guess. I don't know. You know, there's lots of different things to explore, and not everyone wants to explore all of those things with you. So, like, I also have some videos that I'm directing and co-directing with a guy as well. So the beauty of music, the luck that I've had in our career, is that music has an album cover and videos, and so I have a strong passion for visuals, so I get to try to use all of it. But over time, I realize in the music sense, there's other songs and other subject matters and other textures that I want to do that nobody else wants to. So that's why that solo record, Moon Boot Cocoon, that was just songs that I had, and really sounds and ideas that I couldn't convince anyone in the band or anywhere else to, like, yeah, let's do that. So it's like, okay, I'm doing it myself then. You know what, I'm very, very proud of that record and very pleased with how it turned out. It's very close to what I had hoped for and imagined. I think the challenge is just not a lot of people know that it exists, but I think it's fun, and it's a accurate window into my brain, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the visuals, and obviously that's really important to you. You started learning some animation as well, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So the last Finger 11 video for a song called Whatever Doesn't Kill Me, that was me and my production partner, Rich. I've messed around with animation here and there, some stop motion stuff over the past like 20 years, but never really tried to harness it and focus it on something as ambitious as this. So me and him, we kind of looked at each other and we're like, I think we could do this. We don't really know how, but let's try it. And so this most recent video, Whatever Doesn't Kill Me, check it out on YouTube or Facebook or wherever. This is our virgin attempt at animating a video. I think it turned out awesome.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, right? Until you do it once, you can't have done it more.
But yeah, like I urge people to watch it and watch it all the way to the end. I think it's a pretty cool visual thing, and for some novices who we're just getting started and starting to do other videos now, it's cool. If anything, it'll inspire you to think, oh, you can do a lot more than you think you're qualified to do.
Yeah, because you don't have any schooling background in that field, right? It was just driven by passion.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I don't really have any schooling in music either. It's just, you just go chasing something that's in your brain until you get it out. And if someone else that you know can look at it or hear it and go, like, yeah, I think I get what you mean, then that's all you're chasing, really. There's no real, I don't know how you can get lessons in that.
Yeah, well, awesome, James. One last thing that I'll ask you is, what does the future look like for Finger 11?
Well, the future, right now we're in the studio. We're working on a song with our old friend Arnold Lanny, who we made our first few records with. So this year and next year are part of the 20th anniversary of when the first Finger 11 record happened. So after Rainbow Butt Monkeys, and we had time to think about it, and we're like, okay, Finger 11 is now the thing. That was 20 years ago. Probably, I think someone mentioned that the Tip record came out maybe 20 years ago, not today, but close to now. So we had this notion of like, oh, I wonder if we could go back and make a song with Arnold, who we made that record with, and just to see what would happen. Almost a tip of the hat to the 20th anniversary, and also a curiosity, because we've all learned a lot since then. So we've been in the studio the last 2 weeks, and the song is turning out awesome. So hopefully before the end of the year, I don't know when, there'll be new music coming out from us. Or at least it'll be finished enough that we'll be talking about it coming out the next year.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's like really low, like we're dropped the guitar, the low string is down to G. It's like really low and kind of menacingly growly, but bouncy at the same time. I don't know, I'm really excited about it. And Scott's just ripping it, the vocals.
Right on. So are you guys trying to kind of go back to as well, like the style from Tip? Like, I know your sound has changed a lot.
Not really trying to go back, but in a way thinking of it through that lens of like, I mean, I guess a lot has happened since we made Tip and Grace of Blue Skies, but in our career. But this guy, Arnold, he hasn't really been a part of that. The last time we worked together, we were a heavier band. So it's neat to go back and revisit it when he has a different conception of what we are, and we're sort of looking back through that Tip lens as well. So yeah, it's not intentionally trying to do something heavy, but it's turning out to be nice and ballsy.
Awesome. Well, James, thank you for taking the time to join me. James Black of Finger 11, lead guitarist, backup vocalist. Anything else that you'd like to chat about or plug?
No, I don't think so. I think we're just excited to get up there and have a good time.
Awesome.
I mean, I think the last time we were up there, there wasn't much to do other than get drunk at Boston Pizza, but that suits us fine. I think we'll do that.
Awesome. Sounds like a great time. Really looking forward to it. Thanks again, James.
Yeah, man. Take it easy.